From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. So make sure you do so. Take advantage of that. Joining us now, our returning champion, a little early today, but you know, anytime we get him on, we will make accommodations. But State Senator Chris Elliott is with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I know it feels weird to be on earlier. It's like sitting in a different pew at church or a different tea time or something when you've gotten in a groove.
It's all right. Y'all don't realize this, but when for whatever reason something gets mixed up and Senator Elliott's segment doesn't get posted to our podcast page, I hear from people all around the state, including some of Senator Elliott's colleagues, that are so excited to see what Senator Elliott, what kind of hijinks Senator Elliott was up to on FM Talk 106.5. Did you know that?
I've heard from some of my colleagues that kind of surprised me. I think they need to. We may need to worry about the hobbies of certain folks if this is the highlight.
But, I don't know.
But it's flattering nonetheless. So.
It's always did y'all forget to put up Chris's podcast today? Like, oh, okay. Anyway, let's kick it off here. I'd like to get your reaction to this. And I guess this is something I should have told you during the break that we could talk about. But this Twitter file stuff, Senator, and their censorship. And I don't want to get into the weeds on it, but you got to wonder from a policy standpoint, is something the state needs to look at?
You know, it very well may, and the legislature's tried to look at different ways of dealing with the issues of big tech censorship as it relates to campaigns, and how that impacts, of course, the legislature, right, and elected officials. But you got to start wondering if that needs to broaden out some. You know, the argument has always been these are private companies. You use their platform voluntarily, and you don't have to be on Twitter or you don't have to be on Facebook or Instagram or a lot of other things that I labor to understand but don't do so well at. But that's a fair argument to make. But there is a point where you become so influential that you do have to look at whether or not you are impacting the public good. And I think it's fair to say that Twitter and Facebook in particular probably are. And that one of the hallmarks of our democracy is free speech, and we need to do a better job protecting that. You know, the problem is, of course, you have large investments by some big tech in Alabama, and boy, they come flying down the halls of the state house like flying monkeys when you start talking about regulating big tech.
Well, yeah, and they, you know, they have their data centers and their distribution facilities. And a lot of that, and like you said, there's suddenly we need to rethink about how we're going to handle this whenever somebody speaks up, right?
Well, you gotta realize what the folks are asking for is free speech. I mean, it's not anything more than that. They're just worried about free speech and an ability to really have a public dialogue, and that changes. It's not the town square anymore. These conversations happen on these social media platforms. The ask, if you will, the regulation, if you will be simply to say, hey, you got to let people say what they want to say. You know, of course, if it's incendiary or, you know, it's one of those, you're inciting a riot. I mean, it's the same old exceptions to free speech that exist out there right now. You know, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater type of thing. But at the same time, you know, let's let people say what they got to say. If you don't like it, that's fine. I mean, we hear that all the time, right?
Well, that's fair enough. Hey, something else on this front here. Governor Kristi Noem in South Dakota has decided to, I guess, ban TikTok and state agencies and You know, is that something? How do you feel about that? I can't tell this TikTok stuff is really, if it's like some kind of secret Chinese Trojan horse that's going to take over the internet or something or what, but there's enough people out there that are concerned about TikTok, and not a whole lot out of Governor Ivey about it, but it is fair enough, hard enough to really understand. But what do you think about the way some of these state governments are treating that social media presence?
Look, make no mistake about it. Foreign adversaries, China and Russia in particular, are absolutely trying to influence us in our electorate. They are trying to change the narrative on a regular basis. There is no question about that. Oftentimes with an awful lot of fake news. And I've read articles before that I've looked at and said, wow, you know, and then you look at, you got to check the source. You got to look at it. You know, you got to know where it's coming from. Heck, you got to do that with some local news sources around our area.
Hey, I don't.
I didn't say anything about Rob Holbert. Anyway, you gotta check the sources on some of those things too. But at the end of the day, when you know that that the platform that you're on is owned and hosted and monitored by a foreign adversary, that should really send up a red flag. And we know that the Russians and the Chinese in particular both are active on our social media, the bots and the trolls and all these things that are trying to influence what is being consumed by the U.S. taxpayers. And it's something that is concerning. It is just like anything else, though. You do have to balance free market, free speech, and with being concerned about, you know, fake news. And that is a challenge we'll continue to try to work through.
I mean, I get it. You know, like you don't want foreign adversaries using American platforms to promote their propaganda. But there's something that's a little like you're telling the public essentially, or not you, but these people that are worried about big tech, they're not smart enough to figure stuff out on their own. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you need us looking out for you to tell you what is right, what is wrong. There's so much of that in society right now.
And that's a very dangerous, slippery slope. And I think anything we can do to shine a light on the fact, hey, you're on a Chinese government-owned social media platform. That ought to raise red flags for folks on their own. You know, now what Governor Noem's done as far as, you know, state agencies on TikTok, I'm not sure how many state agencies are using TikTok, but, you know, she's put her flag in the ground there on that.
Don't underestimate the Department of Public Health or I'm telling you, Senator, these guys, they're always looking for ways to reach younger people. So.
That's fair. And we have seen some of that specifically as it relates to the Department of Public Health. But I do worry about, you know, getting into private space and going the other way, right? Regulating what can and can't be on, who can and can't be on certain platforms. But there's an inherent risk that everyone ought to know about when you're using a platform owned by a foreign adversary.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program a little earlier today. So now that the 2022 election cycle's over, very underwhelming for Republicans, Senator. Kind of what's your takeaway? I think it could have been, I guess for Alabama, I feel like it could have been a little better. I mean, there was a sheriff's race or two that should have gone or could have gone Republican. A couple of those. I don't think the Vivian Figure seat was really obtainable, but there may have been some other maybe House seats that could have flipped. But you only got one, and then you lost the one with Charlotte Meadows, so that was a tie. But look around everywhere else. It wasn't bad, but it maybe could have been better.
It could have been. I think that in Alabama, things are so far conservative now, and the Democrats really are in control in districts that are so heavily Democrat that the likelihood of flipping any of those is pretty slim. And frankly, the motivation to do so is pretty slim as well, right? I mean, there's super majorities in both chambers. You know, what we had back in 2010 is just different. You know, we were talking about, you know, changing the makeup of the state house. So it's just different. And I don't see the push really to add, you know, more and more and more. You just get diminishing returns to add more to your supermajority. I will say this though. I do think, and I talked to the County Commission Association at their legislative conference up here just the other day, along with some of my colleagues, that we do need to look at registrars and how registrars are appointed and how registrars work. Because you'll recall back in the primary, we had some flub ups that are, you know, from district lines being redrawn and where people voted. And I think that when we start talking about the integrity of people's vote, the problems we saw were at the registrar level. And that's something that we need to make sure that we address. We've got things pretty locked down here in Alabama as far as ballot security and everything else. But I think the next battlefield, if you will, is going to be making sure, darn sure, that we've got folks in the right districts, they're voting where they're supposed to be, and for the candidates that they're actually supposed to be voting for.
Yeah, and that, you know, that was something we were told was fixed, but then it turned out there were still some questions. I'm not, you know, Senator, I'm not convinced that they haven't really figured that out altogether yet. I know it takes time, and, you know, with the late reapportionment special session and getting that done, it may have been maybe a bigger ask than what we had realized, especially us in the media, to make sure that was ready in time for this year's primary.
Forgive me, I just don't buy that excuse. I just don't. The shape files are out there. The technology is there. You know what side of the road you're on, what side of the creek you're on. It's easy. And I'll tell you this too: in Alabama, the last redistricting was done by whole precincts. So it was an entire precinct. It was like building something with those really big Lego blocks, you know. I mean, we're not in the little small Lego block land, except for the very last, you know, the last precinct that may have had to been divided up to make the margins right. But other than that, they were whole big precincts. And the fact that we couldn't get that right is very concerning. And I think something the legislature, along with the registrars and the incoming Secretary of State, Wes Allen, we need to look at and try to figure out how we're going to fix.
Well, I guess it's this, that there's no uniform system, right? You still have some counties that are doing it by hand. They're not using the computer software that's available. And just hearing from, like, Secretary Merrill during this whole ordeal, how he had to dispatch his own employees to Etowah County where that one was messed up, and they had to work night and day for, like, a week or two. It didn't sound like it was as easy as maybe it ought to have been, but maybe it's just there's no uniform process, and that's why it didn't work out the way it should.
Exactly. And I think that's something we need to look at. When you've got different counties, and as you know, I was a former county commissioner, and you've got, Baldwin County is very different from Blount County. That's different from Barber County. And they're just different, and they're different in their capabilities. We need a uniform system, I think, statewide, perhaps. And this is something to talk about with the incoming Secretary of State, but perhaps being led by that office so that those counties can have that assistance early on in the process, as opposed to, you know, a hair on fire last minute working through the night type of thing. There's no reason for that. We need to plan better as a state to make sure that's correct. And we've got time. We just got through with redistricting. It won't happen again for another decade. Let's learn from our mistakes and fix the problem.
Yeah, does it just strike you as weird? I mean, the auditor, the ag commissioner, and the governor appoint the board of registrars in all 67 counties. And that I mean, it may have made sense, 100 years ago to do it that way. Doesn't really make sense now, does it?
It doesn't. And it's long been used as a political patronage, you know, system. It was somebody who the auditor knew or the ag commissioner knew. And it's just how it's been set up. But you're correct. It's been around for a very, very, very long time when the state was very, very different. And we need to change with the times and not have, folks that are essentially part-time and maybe not up on the programs that are used in order to handle this. Let's just if the Alabama legislature can be definite on redistricting and where the lines are, then certainly our boards of registrars ought to be able to. And I think that with Secretary of State's help, I think they can get there.
Get you out of here on this, Mr. Kessler, talking about the election in Alabama, but what about nationally, Senator, just not really coming together like it should have, is it?
No, it was very disappointing, and of course the results out of Georgia this week were even more disappointing. You know, I'm very happy to be in Alabama, and when people talk to me about national politics, I'm very glad that I'm involved in state politics with you know, representing people who have values the same as I do. I'm very concerned about the liberal tint and the tilt in our country. And unfortunately, and I do mean unfortunately, but nationally, the Republican Party is going to have to be more competitive in moderate districts. And that means diluting a message that I love and that I fight for every day in Alabama. But we are not competitive in a lot of these districts and a lot of these states. Because the hard R message that, again, I'm glad we have in Alabama is just too much. And unfortunately, that means that you have a liberal Democrat elected when the message or the candidate that we put up is just too conservative for him. I hate that that's where our country is, but at some point we've got to realize that we got to know the audience. We got to understand the audience in Maine or Nevada and in Georgia, unfortunately. And if we don't do a better job with that, we will continue to lose to liberal Democrats. And I promise you, a liberal Democrat is worse than a moderate Republican every time.
State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. Senator, thanks for making time, and we'll do it all again next week.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Drinking money, turn up your dope. People said it was useless. Them people all the fools. Cause Curtis Slow was the finest pickup.